My hair is kind of different.
Not everyone likes the way I dress. And I don't look like other people.
Me neither. Everyone is different, but no one deserves to be bullied. So be kind, stay positive, and support each other.
Every single day.
Welcome back to Mass Radio Sports Talk, presented by 2.5 Athletes, our last show of the year, folks. Thank you so much for tuning in. This is a convergence of mass media with Laser, Loot Air, Student Radio. We are going to open up the coverage to national coverage for the final hour of the program today. If at any time you want to join in the conversation, call the show at 253-535-7332. Once again, that is 253-535-7332. 32 again, Drew.
It's my tough deal.
It's your tough deal.
Yes, let's go. First off, this isn't our last show, by the way. Please tune in next week for our best ofs.
Best live show.
Live show. Christian, I know of our best ofs. You know, I know what you're picking immediately.
I really like the interview we did over the phone.
What about the one where the mic broke?
That'll be Kellen's.
That might not be it. But the interview we did over the phone after you guys beat Whitman in the Northwest Conference Tournament, men's basketball.
Me, Brandon, Tyson, all of us
live,
the Applebee's.
Live from the Applebee's in Spokane. That was a good segment. You'll definitely hear it again next week. So tune in for more stuff like that.
But it's my tough deal.
So let's talk about your tough deal.
So I was prepared. Monday night, prepared to come in here and talk about specialization of sports. You know, come here and talk about, because you can't play multiple sports anymore in high school. You got to choose, especially if you want to get recruited. And you're not going to go D1 unless you're being talked to as you're going into your freshman year. You know, that's the sad state of things currently, that sports are now year-round, AAU is now year-round. If you miss AAU for baseball, you're not playing in the tournament in spring. You know, we've all been there, right? But this happened. The Spurs game happened.
Spurs, so can you kind of
Spurs
for those,
Thunder happened.
For those that didn't see it live or a replay, can you kind of walk through, you know, just the minor details of the last 13 seconds? Because really all we're going to talk about is the last 13 seconds of that game.
Well, we're going to talk about that, but we're going to talk about how officiating the whole. This week is going to be how much harder officiating's gotten and how bad officiating's gotten in the last 5 years. Or has it really gotten bad, or has it just because of technology become that much more evident? You understand what I'm saying?
So go ahead, last 13 seconds. Who's inbounding the ball?
So Manu Ginobili is guarding Deion Waiters.
Thunder inbounding the ball.
Spurs down by two with like 13.4 or something left. And, you know, the ref hands Deion Waiters the ball. Does nothing else. Just hands Deion Waiters the ball and starts counting. So Manu Ginobili never told Manu Ginobili to step back. First mistake by the referee. The first thing the referee has to do is before he hands on the ball, is step in front and wave his hand in front to show Manu Ginobili there are 3 feet here that you're not allowed to cross. As soon as you cross, it's a technical because we're
so
in the last
protocol.
Two. Yes, that is protocol as an official. You're supposed to hand the guy the ball and remind this guy it's 3 feet because it's a technical. A delay game, which is stepping on that line or crossing that 3 foot barrier with under 2 minutes, is not just a delay game warning. It is an automatic technical foul. You get a free throw and the ball.
Did not know that.
I did not know that. Okay.
All right.
So that's what he was supposed to do. He didn't. He handed Deion Waiters the ball and started counting. One, two. At about 3.5, Manu Ginobili did the smart thing because he wasn't told he couldn't. He stepped all the way up to the line. Did he step on the line? Yes. Automatic delay game. But Deion Waiters did something that was so egregious. And right in the front of the official, like the distance from me to Kellen in the studio is probably about 3 feet, maybe less. And that's what the ref's looking at. And Deion Waiters just shoves his forearm through Manu Ginobili. Ginobili goes flying backwards, whether it was half a flop job and half a hard hit, I don't know.
I think, Drew, to interrupt you real quick, he definitely he definitely flared back, but he got hit too.
Either way, it was illegal.
Right.
Either way, if the inbounder crosses the plane before releasing the ball, crosses the imaginary plane, you know all about that, Mr. Baseball Umpire with box.
Mm-hmm.
Cross the imaginary plane that the sideline is considered. You break that plane before you release the ball, it's turnover. You go the other way. So that's number two. So Deion Waiters, so there should have been a technical foul on Manu Ginobili. That didn't happen.
Do you think Manu Ginobili didn't get that call because he's known as an actor in the
NBA? No, I think Manu Ginobili didn't get that call because if a ref teed Manu Ginobili up when the Spurs are down by two on national television, as a referee, you don't make that call. You can't. You don't make the delay game call. However, when Deion Waiters takes his elbow and shoves it through Manu Ginobili's chest, kind of have to say something.
Well, here's the thing about that, though. How many times have you ever seen that? You never have. That's the answer to that. That's true. One time. You're not expecting to see this guy shove this the inbounder shove the defender out of his way. It never happens. Nobody does that. He was probably choking on his whistle because he goes, "Wow, that just happened." By the time that had happened, the play was going on.
I don't believe that for two reasons. The first one, the fact is that you see the call, 1-1000, 2-1000, blow the whistle.
That's over after.
Blow the whistle.
2-1000 is long.
Yeah, after that, you don't blow the whistle. But 1-1000, 2-1000. Yes, I saw it. Oh, my Lord, that's illegal and stupid.
That was more than 2 seconds.
But you know, your brain works faster.
I'm just saying,
I'm going out loud with you. Okay, that's the first thing. Second thing, as an NBA official, especially the playoffs, you are considered one of the, 20 best officials in the league?
I would hope so.
Out of the 80 that they hire, right?
They're getting paid like $600,000 a year.
You're getting paid $600,000 a year, right? So they're like one of the however many best officials you have. And they say you've never seen that call. So what do you train for? Why do you go to all these reffing clinics? Why do you do all that stuff? Do you go do all that stuff to call the travelings, the carries, and the illegal screens?
Definitely not the travels in the NBA. But no, I hear what you're saying.
You train for the once-in-the-lifetime call.
To Christian's point, the ref was a prisoner of the moment. You know what I mean? He was starstruck that happened.
No one does that. No
one does it because
that's
it's
not
a
cool.
Foul.
Yes, that's so, that just happened.
But this is my point. This is my point: is that you have to call it. You have to blow your whistle there, even though refs, it's pretty much common knowledge that a ref's not going to decide a game unless you're a replacement ref and we're throwing Hail Marys at the end of a Seahawks game. A ref isn't going to decide a game for you.
Mm-hmm.
That's just changed. So what we are dealt with now is that Manu Ginobili's fouled. You have to blow your whistle. Absolutely have to. You train for that. For that instance, for the one call you don't see a lot, that's why you're in the playoffs, for those calls. Okay,
that's fair.
If you can't make that call, you shouldn't be there. If you're scared to make that call, you shouldn't be there. If you you're getting those bonuses for being there. You know, I mean, you get paid extra money to ref those games. So you just it's like you train as a, so if you were to jump so like you're a Navy SEAL, right? Do you train for the easy missions or do you train for the hard ones? Do you train for the scenarios you're always in or the scenarios you've never seen before?
Never seen
the ones you've never seen before. That's right. Why you train, right? So,
but they're human too.
So if a Navy SEAL, or say if you're the Secret Service, okay, and the president gets assassinated, okay, and you train everything, you're just like, well, we've never seen that kind of assassination attempt before. Does that excuse you of doing your job? No, that's why you train. That's why officials train.
Exactly.
The problem is that the officials don't give a rip because the officials don't get punished for bad calls. A coach can get fined $25,000. Dan Van Gundy, for criticizing an official. But an official can't get fined for blowing a game? What's this? Oh, the ref's going to release our two-minute report. Oh, yeah, by the way, ref, you screwed this up and this up and this up and this up and this up, and we're sorry.
Yeah, isn't that the worst?
It's what like, is that,
if I'm, dude? If I'm Greg Popovich and I'm watching
that interview
ESPN.
That interview was great. Well, Greg Popovich was like, the reporter asked this stupid question. I hate reporters. They're just like, are you going to feel any better tomorrow? When the NBA comes out and say they missed that call, and he goes, no, doesn't help me.
Right.
Doesn't help my players.
If I was a coach, I would rather not hear that. I don't want to know that they messed up. I know that they did, but
and
the
as
fact
a ref,
that they come
and
out.
As a ref, how's that going to make you feel that the NBA is selling you out? Be like, hey, our guys screwed up. We're sorry. Like, they're not taking that responsibility. They're not fining you. They're just going to say, hey, our guys screwed up. What does that do for your reputation?
So you believe that refs should be suspended possibly for missing
suspended.
Calls?
Suspended. Kicked out of the playoffs. You're not. You make bad calls. You blow a game. Your crew doesn't work the next playoff game. You get replaced.
I think that's the way you would have to do that, though. As far as
or you find
you'd have to go with the crew.
Or you,
the crew would have to miss a game or the rest of the series or however you want to do that.
Or you find
not individual.
The crew. It's the crew.
Okay.
Or you find them. So let's talk about the missed calls in that play because that wasn't it. That
it
wasn't
kept going
on that play. That wasn't it. So then Kevin Durant, after the ball's thrown in, Deion Waiters at like the 7 second mark throws the ball up because it was Deion Waiters had the ball for a long time. That was a lot longer than 5 seconds. One, and two, the clock started early, so ball left Deion Waiters' hands. Clock starts. Okay, so that's a problem. Okay, then Kevin Durant was mauled at midcourt.
He was
mauled. Somehow the ball comes out. Okay, and the Spurs come out. Danny Green comes out with it, and pushes it up to Patty Mills in the right corner. Steven Adams is going to close out on Patty Mills, and there's a Spurs fan holding Steven Adams. He's holding him back so he can't get there. A fan
right.
is holding him back. So then Patty Mills is in the corner, and Patty Mills shoots an air ball.
To the ref's defense right there, Drew, as you continue to break down the play. But what refs are looking at that?
No one. Steven Adams.
It's crazy okay. that happened.
So Patty Mills gets the ball. Air ball, right? LaMarcus Aldridge gets the rebound, and Serge Ibaka is draped over him. He all fouled him, grabbed him. LaMarcus Aldridge goes up to do what every NBA player does, the throw your hands up, I got fouled because someone had my arm, and you throw the hand, lost the ball, got the ball again, got fouled again, and put up, still no call. I was like, and you're watching this on live TV, and you're like, he was mauled. That's assault in some states. Kevin Durant was assaulted at midcourt.
But Kevin Durant's also like 190 pounds.
Deion Waiters threw his elbow through Manu Ginobili's chest, and Manu Ginobili committed a technical foul, and none of it was called. Right. You're looking there, and Chris Webber was pissed.
He was.
Oh, my word.
Which I love that. I love that he was genuine.
Do you know why Chris Webber was mad? You want to know why Chris Webber was mad? Because Chris Webber got messed over in the same fashion by refs in the playoffs against the Lakers. And I'm a Sacramento Kings fan. I will always hold this grudge against officials that they blew the Kings' chance. That Kings team from the early 2000s are always the number one or two teams on NBA countdowns. Our best teams never to win a championship behind that Utah Jazz team with Stockton and Malone. Because they were robbed. So Chris Webber was mad because he knows that feeling. That's why he was so mad. Is he knows how it feels to be wronged by officials in playoff games that can decide your future, can decide your career, can decide next year's paycheck, can decide jobs. But what does it decide for the refs? Absolutely nothing. What happens when a ref makes a bad call? Oh, our bad. You don't get fined. However, we can say, yeah, the ref made a bad call. They're missing this stuff. Fine. $25,000. They're missing LeBron's offensive fouls. Fine. A coach gets upset, whatever, gets tossed in the playoff game. Fine. And a ref can miss a call and he don't get fined?
I'm confused.
That's where my tough deal is weakest. Do we fine the officials? And I know we have an official in here as an umpire who umps games. And I think that there needs to be some sort of accountability. Something.
Are you going to fine the players for a turnover? That's the equivalent.
No, it's not. Are you going to find? But you can find a coach.
That is the equivalent. They fine the coaches for,
criticizing
the referees because it is bashing the league. Because the league will do it on their own, like you just said. So the equivalent is: are you going to fine the players for turnovers? You know, humans make mistakes.
Teams sometimes do. Teams have kangaroo court and stuff. You know that from baseball.
That's fine. Absolutely. But if you're going to make it, if you're going to make mistakes, be on the league's hands, they have to then in turn fine players for turnovers. It's the same thing.
Here's the thing, real quick, guys. I was I worked at NBC camps, Northwest basketball camps, as a ref.
Yeah.
And I was basically there because I knew the director. I played basketball when I was younger, but basically it was just because I'm an athlete. Yep. I coached the younger kids, the second graders, and I was reffing a basketball game. All the parents were there, and one of my good friends was the coach of the other team.
Mm-hmm.
And I was there reffing, and he and I are good friends. And I missed about four calls in a row. I mean, four calls in about 10 seconds. Just kind of like that ref did. Choked, just wasn't ready to blow the whistle yet. And it is so hard to be ref. That's second grade in Auburn, and there's 20 fans there. So you have to take it into consideration, like, you know, Christian's making. These refs are human. It's the hardest job in the league. But at the same time, Drew, to your point, if these refs are the best of the best, they got to be ready for anything. You watch the movie Crimson Tide with Denzel Washington, you know, and there's a flood in the boat, and he's running another drill because it's crisis. What can you do in crisis?
Yeah.
And so refs are human, but at the same time, if they're the best of the best, they're there for a reason. But at the same time, they are human, like you said. I like that point about a turnover.
So if you take human referees out of the game, let's have the robots do it, right? They won't make errors. They're robots.
No, it's not about the robots.
Unless it's iRobot.
It's not. I kind of feel bad for officials because in the days.
No, you don't. You've been trashing them.
Yeah, you haven't changed your mind.
You've been trashing them for the last 15 minutes.
But I feel bad because we've come to the age now that television is so clear. HD TV, cameras are right in your face.
They're on pylons.
They're on the backboard. That it's so clear that we can see missed calls. And if you're playing in a home arena and you miss a call, they'll put it up on the Jumbotron. So the entire stadium at one time can go, oh, you know what I'm saying?
As far as technology and officiating goes, there should be a way by now to make the three-point line or the goal line or the end zone or out of bounds
a digital plane.
There shouldn't be any question. I mean, there should be a buzzer that goes up, he was in or out, or that was a three or that was a two. There should not be, you know, the review for a three-point shot, should not be a review for a runner in football being out of bounds on the sideline. That would be as far as I would go with technology and officiating sporting events.
Well, I'm just saying I feel bad because of how clear it is.
Right.
But the because
20 years ago, you never knew if they messed up, no, really.
Something needs to be done, though. Something needs to be done. I'm not saying refs have an easy job, okay? When Greg Popovich, who's quite reserved, is all of a sudden down your throat as a lead official, you know you did something wrong.
Exactly.
That's the thing. You know you messed up. And if Coach K jumps down your throat, you know you messed up. Now, if there's one coach who sits there and yells at you the entire time, no one cares.
Bobby Knight.
I hate to say it like that. No one cares.
Right.
You know, there's no impact. It
becomes another sound in the game. They're used to it.
There's no impact. And, you know, refs, I do feel bad sometimes. I feel like they're put in tough spots, especially by the league. I feel like those reports.
Because in my opinion,
I feel like those reports don't help anybody.
You can compare refs to centers in football. The only time you ever get attention is when you mess up.
Right.
When you're a center, if you have a bad snap, that's really when you only get attention. You don't get attention for blocking like they should. With refs, if you make a great call, at the end of the day, our guy's saying, hey, great call. I mean, there's not that much.
Don't talk about the good ones.
Exactly. I really believe that there should be a system, Drew Christian. What I don't know what you could do, though. That's what's so tough.
You cannot automate. In baseball right now, it's a huge argument for automated umpires. I hate that ESPN has gone to this live K-zone and put home plate umpires on blast. I don't know how long that's been going. That's like one of the worst things they could have ever done for officials in baseball. I mean, what are your thoughts on that, Kellen?
Well, you know, like I said, I think when you're a baseball umpire, again, the hardest thing about sports, Drew, and you've reffed as well, right, Drew?
I've reffed up to the JV level of basketball in high school.
Okay.
I've reffed up to majors, 12-year-olds, in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
I've never reffed football or soccer.
Hardest part about that, obviously we're in a different stage compared to the professional stage, is the parents. Everyone's got an opinion. Everyone thinks they have the best angle of where it is. But in my opinion, the umpire has the best angle. So whatever he calls, he calls.
Well, no one else's opinion matters. That's what I always say. No one's opinion matters.
Right. But again, we're human, though. I think sometimes we forget these refs are human. I mean, these refs.
They do make mistakes. I'm not going to be the one who says they don't. But at some point, if you're gonna find players and coaches for criticizing officials, when they're right, you shouldn't find them, or you should find the officials when they mess up just as bad, in my opinion, or you should take them out of the series. I believe that the Spurs, the refs who ref the Spurs game, should not.
I think there needs to be a system in place, Drew. No, I really do, and I want
to
thank Greg Dinesi as well as Micah Slifer.
Some sort of system.
Greg Dinesi and Micah Slifer for listening to the show. We appreciate it, fellas. But I think there needs to be a system, Drew. So I don't know if it's take a game or two out, or if it's just find them money. But I'm with you, Drew. I think there needs to be a deal in place because I'm not a big fan of watching ESPN the next day and saying, yeah, you know, we blew about five calls and, you know, sorry, Spurs, it's still 1-1. Sorry about that.
Well, why don't we take a call on this, Christian?
Yeah, I got to interrupt you. This is Greg from off campus. Greg, what do you got to say about this?
Yo, what's up, guys? I live with Kellen.
hey, Greg.
to Drew's point, I don't really think it matters at the end of the day because the Spurs had a wide-open shot. Like, Patty Mills had a shot.
Very true.
And so at the end of the day, yeah, you know, the call was egregious, and Manu stepped on the line and all that stuff, but they missed the shot. So they got to be mad at themselves.
That's a great point, Greg, and I appreciate you calling. Hold on, Drew, before it bless your heart. You know, Greg, like you said, you live with me, buddy. We really appreciate you calling in. But that's another great point. It'd be different if they never had a chance to, you know, shoot a shot at the basket. Again, Patty Mills, he should have pump-faked in the air, took one dribble, and shot another shot. Again, they were only down. Were they down by one?
They were down two.
They were down two.
Well, but my point is, it's not about them being in that situation. About them missing a shot. It should never have gotten to that point. In my opinion, Manu should have been teed up right there. Delay a game. And if you're not going to tee Manu up when Deion Waiters does something so obvious that the entire Spurs bench is halfway out to the free throw line saying what the heck just happened, as soon as it happens, call the technical, call the turnover there.
Yeah.
Something has to happen. Patty Mills should never even touch the ball. Kevin Durant should never even touch the ball at half court. That's the point I'm making. Yeah, I mean, I'm not making, yeah, the Spurs should have made it. That's not the point I'm trying to make here. Oh, the Spurs should have won. The point I'm making here is the refs messed up. Right?
Yeah, and that's what I'm trying to get at, is that Popovich shouldn't have been angry, because at the end of the day, they're the ones who set the whole thing off. Like, man, you buy something on the line.
Correct.
The
that's a good point. Greg, do you got a solution for this referee stuff? You have any idea how to fix it? What would you do?
Solution. I like what Drew's saying and what Colin Coward's saying. I agree with. I think they definitely need to have like a fine in place where, you know, you blow it, you're not in the next game, or if you blow it, you lose the privilege to be in the next series. That's what I think.
All right. Thanks for calling in, Greg.
Thanks, Greg.
Yep. No problem.
Great call there. I think because it's going to put a little bit more pressure on the refs to make a good call as well.
Just holds them accountable.
Yeah, holds them accountable.
There has to be a sense of accountability. Like, a ref can mess up, it doesn't affect him. It doesn't.
Right.
It affects everyone else but that official.
Because if I disobey my parents and there's not something in place, you know, where I'm reprimanded, and I'm going to keep on doing it. If I get in trouble for it, then...
If an official blows a call that blows a series, everyone's careers are hurt. Everyone's... You know what I mean? Another team goes on to a game they shouldn't be in, probably get blown out, and what do you know? The ref, nothing happens. He probably goes on to ref that next series.
I don't agree with the fine. I just don't.
It's because you're an umpire.
That's fine, though. I mean, that's fine that I don't agree with the fine. No, I just, it's too much. You could reword it, maybe. You know, whatever they're getting paid a game, we're taking $2,500 out of your paycheck if you blow a call. Like, it's different. I don't know how. I do not agree with fining them, because then you got to fine players for their mistakes.
What about a suspension, maybe?
Well, you do. You fine players when they speak out of turn.
See, that's a
that's not different.
That's
If you fine coaches for speaking out of turn, that's considered a mistake by the league. If players speak out of turn, that's considered a mistake by the league. If a player makes an off the court mishap, it's considered a mistake by the league. They don't change the rules to help the players out.
We gotta take a break here, guys. We're going a little over.
All right. So I guess that's why it's a tough deal because we all can't come to a solution. We all want to argue.
I have no idea. Yeah. Good stuff.
All righty, guys.
We're gonna take a break here. This is Mass Radio Sports Talk, presented by 2.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio.
In baseball, miracles can happen when a team works together.
Two out, bottom of the ninth,
down to their last strike.
The same is true in the fight against cancer. That's why MLB has teamed up with Stand Up to Cancer. Because we believe that when we all stand up together,
41,000 on their feet,
we can make cancer history.
Now everybody's standing.
What a buzz in this building.
This is beyond a dream. Stand up with MLB at standuptocancer.org.
Welcome back, sports fans, to Mass Radio. Again, last show of the year, the last live show. Sports Talk presented by 2.5 Athletes. This show is a convergence of mass media with Laser Loot Air Student Radio. Christian, Mother's Day is coming up.
Hi, Mom.
Drew.
Hi, Mom.
Giving his mother a shout out. Christian, how important is your mom when you played athletics in high school? How you know, much of a, you know, extra kind of salt and pepper, you know, added to your play? Did you play for her? Was she there to support you in your highs and lows? Talk about your mother in high school.
They're definitely a crucial role, probably, in any athlete's life. You know, you get done with a game. Like, I still coach with my dad right now. It's one of the most fun things I've ever done in my life. And, you know, after the game, you talk to your dad. You go, oh, dude, you made two errors. Why'd you do that? There's, you know, stuff like, you might get some tougher love from your dad, but Mom will be there. She'll make sure you got dinner after practice. She'll make sure that, you know, you got food before a game. I mean, they play a crucial, more of a caring role, to say. You know, your dad, it's different. They're both, you know, they're both supportive, but they do it in different ways. And, you know, it's something I'm extremely thankful for. I don't know. How about you guys?
Well, let's start with Kellen, since Kellen's mom works here.
Oh,
and
my
dad's
goodness.
A college coach.
Dude.
Who he plays for. So let's go to Kellen.
Yeah, how's your role?
This is interesting.
So in high school, my mother was basically my chef. I mean, she, on game days, she would kind of create that. This is my food choice before games. So
what would you use to eat?
Chicken Alfredo.
Really? Alfredo before you go play?
Yeah. Oh, carbo load, bro.
Okay.
Carbo load.
Right before?
Right before. I mean, four hours before.
Carbo load, bro.
Jeez. So chicken Alfredo with a salad and a little bit of garlic bread. And then I would go take a nap, and then she'd go wake me up. You know, and then I'd leave for the game. And if I ever forgot anything, like pads.
Did she help you get dressed before you left too?
This is crucial too.
Extra wristbands. She would always be there at the drop of a hat. And Fridays, again, in high school, or game days, I mean, she had other things going on. She had to work at the church. She had her own kickboxing classes as well. But she focused on me, and that was just so much appreciation towards her, and it was just so vital to my athletic career. When it comes to college now, it's a two-edged sword because, number one, her son's on the team, and her husband's the football coach. And so she's worried about so many things during the game. But you watch her at those games. I'm not sure if you guys have ever heard her. I mean, she has the cowbell. She's up in the box. Not up, right below the box. Like last year when I was broadcasting during the games, my mom would be like, "Kellen, did you see that?" I'm like, "Mom, I just talked about it. You know, of course I saw it." But I mean, she's so invested. And I think that's what's so cool. Whenever we lose a tough game, I mean, it really affects her. I mean, I'm being so serious. And it's just like, that's when you know you love someone. And that's when you know that they are there for you through the highs and lows. Anytime I've ever gotten hurt, it kills her to watch. It really does. And so every practice I've, you know, been in spring ball this week, "Kellen, are you okay? Kellen, are you okay?" And it's one of those things where it's like, "Mom, yes." It's a little bit annoying, bless her heart. But at the same time, I know that she loves me and cares for me.
Bro, you just blew out your knee.
That's so true.
Well, like, what did you expect your mom to be like, "Yeah, rub some dirt on it"? Come on, dude. Yeah. You just blew out your knee.
That's fair. I mean, I have had, three knee surgeries and kind of have a little sprained knee right now. But she's always there, always caring about me. And it's one of those things where I think until I pass away or until she passed away, whatever the case may be, she's going to call me every day and see how I'm doing. And I'm so blessed to have a mom like that. So,
you know, the dynamics in every household are different, you know, where the types of love come from. But, you know, moms are normally known for the softer, more caring side. And, you know, Drew, you could tell us what it's like. You're from California, correct?
Correct.
So mom's not here right
California.
Now.
No, but mom and dad are both at home listening.
So tell us what it's like.
So I have to be, very careful.
I hope they call in and call you a liar if you're a liar.
Okay. So my mom was my chauffeur, biggest fan, and also biggest critic. My mama, she filmed every single game I had probably since I was in seventh grade, football, basketball, baseball, and soccer. And the thing about funny thing about camcorders is that there's a microphone attached to them. So when I would go back at the end of the year to compile film, to put on a highlight film, to send out to colleges, or where I'd rewatch games with the guys and we'd watch film, guess whose voice is on there? Oh, God bless my mother's heart. And all of a sudden, you know, I'd do some and she'd be like, "Ardo, what are you doing?" She's sitting there on the camera like, "Golly, what are you doing? Don't pass it there. Yeah, run your offense." And this is my mom sitting here with a kid. And you can like hear it, and it's hilarious. I'm sitting there, and I'm just like, I was thinking half this stuff after I did it. But she's up there just saying it on the camcorder. It's like, you know, as you go back, and, you know, sometimes you like take a walk down memory lane and watch some of those old games. Like, I can hear her. I went home and popped in one last time I was home over spring break. And just listening to her like criticize me was hilarious. Mm-hmm. I found it awesome. And yeah, she made food. She drove to practice. She made multiple meals a day.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You bring up a great point. And talk about being a chauffeur. I mean,
My mom took me to everything.
Seriously.
I mean, AAU tournaments in the Bay Area, we were driving 3.5 hours to Oakland on a Saturday. You know, I think siblings are also kind of unsung too. I have a little sister who made those trips on her birthday, went to high school basketball tournaments, spent her birthday in gyms. I have a, you know, my dad, I don't know, my dad's listening, so I have to be careful. I broke my dad's heart by stopping playing baseball. I still don't think he's probably forgiven me to this day for doing that. my dad pitched Division I baseball. And if he probably wouldn't have blown out his arm twice, I probably would have been drafted. He was good, really, really good. And I stopped playing baseball, and I wanted to play basketball. You know, my dad told me when I was young that, you know, you're not tall enough, you're not strong enough, you're not quick enough, not athletic enough to play basketball. You have to be a baseball player, you have to be a football player. But, you know, my dad wasn't around a lot. As you guys know, my dad has a job that kept him away a lot, especially when I was really young. And so that was kind of a different.
He probably has a lot of miles on Southwest.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it was on a. He kind of has a. So we kind of had a different. That was kind of a different relationship there because dad wasn't always around. I mean, I got to play for him. There was a span where he took a job closer to home where I got to play for him. I didn't get to play for him as much as I liked to. Didn't get a chance to coach with him. Didn't get a chance to play for him in college. Like, you're lucky enough to. But me and dad kind of had like a different relationship in that sense. Always super, super hard on me. Yeah. But. You know, he didn't think I could be a basketball player. You know, he thought it was football or baseball was what I was going to be able to go on and play in. And, you know, he told me he didn't think I could do it. And I ended up doing it because, well, basketball was the one sport that I didn't need my dad to practice. I could do it on my own.
Mm-hmm.
I could shoot hoops on my own. I could work on my game on my own with playing, you know, being
you would rebound your own air balls.
Rebounding my own air balls and stuff like that. Yeah. You know, when I was a quarterback, you need someone to throw to.
Right.
You know what I mean? I didn't have that. Mm-hmm. You know, as a baseball player, you need someone to play catch with or someone. I mean, you can only do T-work and soft toss for, you know, T-works for so long. You need someone to soft toss you. You need someone to front toss you. You know what I mean? So, Dad, you know, as you know, my dad was awesome, and he was a great baseball coach when I got to play for him and such. But he ended up becoming very supportive of me in basketball and football. But, yeah, that's why I think that's why I kind of gravitated to basketball. And Mom kind of had to fill in all those roles, you know. Mm-hmm. She had to be coach, trainer, nutritionist. You know, everything. And, you know, it even doubles. You know, sports psychologist. You know, she used to tell me to flush it because I'd get so mad after I lose because I hate to lose it more than anything in the world. Mm-hmm. And she'd make me flush it. And, yeah, so she played pretty much every role for a really, really long time. And so, you know, you can never thank moms enough for as
so
much
I
as
think what we've kind of alluded to is that every day could be Mother's Day.
Every day should be Mother's Day.
Right.
So, I mean, yeah, moms are a huge part of young athletes' lives.
Like my mom is going to spend this weekend in Yakima because my little sister has a basketball tournament. So you talk about sacrifice. It's
her mom's
day,
spending Mother's Day
but she's,
in Yakima know, for, in for basketball. Absolutely.
And if you asked her, she probably wouldn't want to be anywhere else.
Wouldn't want to be, exactly.
Amen. Exactly.
Exactly.
Took the words out of my mouth.
Hey, this was a nice heartfelt, touching segment.
Christian's idea.
Yeah, Chris, this once again, tip our hat to our producer. Doing great things over there.
Thank you, guys. The real thank you belongs to all of our mothers and
ooh,
every mother out there.
Amen.
Hi, Mom.
There it is. All right.
Hey, come on. Just before we break that, the ESPN segment they do on Mother's Day every single year where they talk about the hi, Mom thing into the camera stuff, that's a really cool segment. Right. Tip your hat to the four letter.
Mom always reminds me, Mom, you know, upside down is wow. So.
Oh, good. that's a good thing to end on. Oh, can we get out of this?
If we would have braked when we were supposed to, we would have missed that bad joke. I'm just saying. All right. It's time for Lacey's Losers. Lacey Nicholson is in studio. She's warming up in the bullpen. She's getting ready to come in here and you know, tell us who is a loser this week.
This is a fun segment. I like when Lacey just comes in and puts someone on blast for 30 minutes.
It's good stuff. So stay tuned.
It's fun because you're replaced. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. It's Lacey gets to step right in for me, put on my headphones. You know, I just can't wait till spring semester next year. We have Hino over there.
Oh,
I just
cool.
can't wait.
This is Mass Radio Sports Talk presented by 2.5 Athletes on Lou Dare Student Radio. Stay tuned.
Hey, everybody. Let's all lean in together.
Show the world you support women at work and at home.
When men lean in, everyone wins.
Help women aim high.
My brother would always pick me above his friends to be on his basketball teams. It's moments like that you carry with you forever.
Hi, men. Are you?
Talk to me. Oh, sorry, we're back. Folks, welcome back to Mass Radio Sports Talk presented by 2.5.
What was that?
I was just getting into
karaoke.
The song.
Where's Blake Shelton? I'm pressing my button.
Turning around your chair.
I just turned my chair. That was high.
Well, folks, if any time you want to call on the show and hear me sing again, do so. The number to do that is 253-535. Yeah, we probably won't get too many calls. 253-535-7332. Once again, that is 253-535-7332. Folks, we have Aaron Andrews in studio. Check that Lacey Nicholson in studio today, folks.
Yeah. All Lacey's right. So today.
Yeah.
just to say, this is a great segment.
Lacey
gets to come in for 20 minutes, just rip someone. So, Lacey, who we got today?
Someone or some people. Let us know, Lacey. What's
all right. We're not going to focus.
If you're going to rip Drew, we don't have enough time.
Yeah. So. I know. That's got to be an hour segment at least.
Yeah, per person.
And we got to wait for him to be out of studio.
Not even. I'll do it right to his face. Go, Lacey, go.
All right. So today we're not going to focus on one specific person, but instead we're going to maybe generalize college athletes all together. Just the ones that I think take advantage of the fact of being a college athlete and maybe taking it as a right instead of as a privilege. And it's something that I've been really frustrated with growing up as an athlete. I mean, you see it at all levels, but we'll focus on college today. Just these athletes that think they can act a certain way just because they're wearing maybe PLU football or whatever title they have, and they feel this sense of entitlement to act a certain way.
Yeah, I think a lot of it has to do, to be honest with you, sometimes in the chow hall, you know, when we're at the cafeteria, it's like sometimes we get out of practice late. And I've been privy to this, you know, Lacey, so in a way I'm a loser. I think sometimes, you know, we get out of there, we're like, hey, you know, we just got out of the football practice, let's get food first. Kellen, we're at a school here where there's other students that are paying to get food as well. So this is a great point that you kind of bring up, Lacey. And I think it also has to do sometimes in the weight room, athletes are like, hey, we, you know, should probably be in there first. We deserve to have this open space. We want an athlete-only weight room. But again, we go to a school where there's other students that are going to get an education, and they're just as welcome to the cafeteria and the weight room as athletes are as well.
Right. And I don't know. It just bugs me, too. Just like, not all athletes are guilty of this. I'm sure it's probably only a couple, maybe one or two on each team. I mean, a football team may have more, but
We have 113.
They have 158 dudes.
If you do the math.
Yeah, I don't want to pinpoint. I don't want to call out any names. But, yeah, I think, too, you owe it to your team. There's no reason why one player could come into practice and not work as hard as someone else. There's no reason that a starter or a senior should be able to come into practice and kind of go half-heartedly when a freshman's over here working their butt off. You know what I mean? And that's something that really bothers me too, because especially at the D3 level, I mean, everyone tries out for their sports team and no one's on athletic scholarship. So no one's much different than anyone else other than the fact that, oh, maybe you can shoot a three-pointer better than I can. You know?
So women's basketball, they can cut?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So football, you can't.
Okay.
So Christian, here's my question, because we know where I stand on this because, well, I hate the whole student-athlete concept and everything because I just think it's a farce. I think amateurism's a farce. But as an outsider looking in, guy who covers us, what's your take, bud?
Well, I think the stat is, you know, 5% of high school athletes go on to play, you know, college athletics. Absolutely, I think that every – you know, it's tough. You have to remember that when you are one of, I guess, you guys who are a part of a college athletic team, you know, keep it in perspective. There are other people who don't even get the opportunity, who may love it just as much as you guys do, but just don't. They just don't get it.
Maybe
so,
can't afford it.
Yeah, you know, so they want some way or another aren't good enough, aren't this, that, the other. I mean, there are people out there who would love to be in your shoes. So if 6 a.m. practice isn't working for you guys, you know, call that person.
Right. Yeah.
Maybe
someone's just not as talented, and that's what's unfortunate is people that take advantage of their God-given gifts. Mm-hmm. And I mean, Kellen can attest to the fact that it takes 1 second to become injured and you're off the playing field for however long.
Right. What really irks me, Lacey and Christian and Drew, is like when athletes complain about practice. Not a game, practice.
or pass on an opportunity to work harder or get better. Let's just go there.
Because like Lacey mentioned, I've been hurt several times, and all I want to do right now is practice. I know that's kind of like weird to say, but literally all I want to do is practice.
Yeah.
And it's like these athletes complain. They go on social media, oh, we have practice today. Like Lacey said, 6 a.m. workouts. I see Lacey in the basketball team, and there are 6 a.m. workouts, and their season's in 6 to 8 months. That's dedication. I love that. Yeah. You know what I mean? They don't have to do that. Their coaches are in there taking role, as Lacey's flexing on us right now. If we had Periscope, I think that'd fill the whole, fill the whole camera.
I think next year what we need to do is we need to get like Facebook Live feed or Periscope, something in here that we can actually, so people can tune in live and look.
Right, we'll just have to get you some makeup. But to my point is you got to love practice. And then you, obviously the game should be that dessert. That should be that little extra cherry on top. That's the payoff. But the practice, you got to love that grind. And like I said, I think it's awesome that Christian can kind of see that as, you know, a half athlete per se. Again, he's very athletic in my opinion, though, folks. You should see him play basketball. But it's one of those things where if you don't enjoy going to practice, then don't play college athletics.
I agree.
Go play intramurals, brother.
I know everyone's on the same page here, so I'm going to play devil's advocate. And you guys know where I live on this scenario. We've talked about it thousands of times. We talked about my first tough deal about not paying college athletes and things like that. I think the fact that it took us however many years to get a university-wide absence policy for athletes sponsoring or for athletes representing PLU on off-campus events that professors could penalize you for that, I think that's a problem. I don't think that's a sense of entitlement. I think that's an issue for us. Also, I think the fact that you can be kicked out of the fitness center, kicked off a basketball court as a basketball player, for other reasons, classes, activities, or whatever, and you don't have another place to go and work out, I think that's also a problem. I mean, I don't think that – I mean, you guys may laugh at me, Christian. You may roll your eyes and think that may wreak entitlement, but I think that's a true issue. And I also think the fact that we have to have guys – Coach Dickerson has to wait on a pregame speech because guys' registration times are conflicting with game times. So we have a kid registering right before Coach Dickerson gives a speech for games. I think those are issues that don't wreak entitlement. That's funny. Are problems. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, but that's more personal to PLU. I mean, we don't know. I'm sure other schools have their issues, but especially at the D3 level, a lot of D3 schools struggle to have the facilities for their athletes. I mean, we don't have our own football stadium on campus. We only have two basketball courts, one of which is a sauna every time we walk in there. So
you guys got the concrete courts, right?
Yeah, it's a sauna or a freezer. Depends what time of month it is. We've worn sweatshirts under practice uniforms, and we've just worn just practice uniforms. It's bad. It gets bad in there.
Well, everyone has their own problems.
Right.
Myself as the half athlete, I've given POU athletics my weekends this entire year, covering Kellen's team, covering your team, Drew, and then covering baseball. I mean, I want to go see my girlfriend. She came here on Wednesday. Drew, you met her. I know, but
you're better half. But
yes.
But don't you get paid?
I do get paid.
Do we? That's what I thought.
Well, where would you rather be, Drew? You want to be public announcing the men's basketball games, or you want to be playing them?
I do.
Where do you want to be?
I do both, so I guess I have the best.
No. Where do you want to be? Where do you want to be?
I play every single time, which is why I do. Which is why I do what I do.
You want to make $9 to go Drew Artisoni when you make a three? Do you want to do that?
But my point is that I want.
I like that voice, Christian.
Yeah, that was well done. That's your PA voice.
Jessica Roswell taught me that.
Yeah, but the point I'm trying to make is that I think we are. I think athletes, there should be some concessions made for athletes in terms of pre-registration and abilities to work out when we need to based on our class schedules and not be forced to take classes that require us to miss practice. Those kinds of things where I think where we may not.
Especially like spring ball right now. Yeah. We have about 85 guys on the team right now. Honestly, half of the guys are there. Linfield, what they do is an interesting take. Some teams do it, some teams don't. They have spring ball practice at 5 a.m. So no one's going to miss it because, I mean, no one has class at 5 a.m. Track does that as well because of, you know, the academic, you know, kind of, you know, they rub against each other and you can't make practices. So that's another good point, like you said, Drew. But I think at the end of the day, I mean, it's interesting to think about registering for a class, stress on that. But then you got to play a basketball game.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
That was the epitome of the D3 experience to me, which was awesome, was that we have one of our seniors who's registering for class right before on Coach Dickerson's iPad on an away trip before we start the game.
Yeah, that's.
And then once he has it, after he registers, before Coach starts his speech, he said, Coach, there's a class I have to take that's from 4 to 6.
Right.
When do we practice, Kellen? From 4 to 6. Mm-hmm. What do you do? Like, what do you do? You have to. You have to take it. You have to graduate, right? That's why we're here. We're student athletes, right? I mean, so that's the rub, I guess.
It's a good problem to have, in my opinion. Lacey, what do you think?
Well, I guess we're kind of shifting the losers over then to the, I don't know what you would call it, the administration building. Cool. We're working on that. I'm a member of SAC, Student Athletic Advisory Committee, and that's one of the top things on our list is to help athletes be able to schedule their classes at a time where they're not on the road or at least have multiple classes offered so that they're not scheduling classes during practice time.
And wasn't there something that just passed where it's like if we play Kalu, we're going to go to California, we can give the teachers a slip that they have to sign or something like that?
Yeah, so if you're taking a test on a day that you're gone, then you technically cannot be penalized for that and you will be able to make it up
when you come back.
So something that has just been passed, which is awesome. But
and George Fox honestly screws over a lot of teams because they graduate I think next week, late early May.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's like baseball, basically, they're going to be going to, you know, regionals right during finals week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How hard is that?
Yeah. So then what are you, Kellen, the student or the athlete?
You're the student.
Student first.
Really? How much school are you missing to go to regionals?
The whole finals week.
Okay. So are you a student or an athlete?
In that situation, you're a student.
Really? Because I think you're an athlete. Because you have to go. Is Corey Nelson, who has finals, his capstone presentation, the whole nine that week, is he going to turn around? Is he going to say, Coach, I can't pitch game one. I'm a student.
No, what I'm saying.
No, you're an athlete.
Believe me, I'm going too. If I'm in that situation, I'm going to go play my sport. But PLU saying that you're a student. They're saying you should take that final. That's what I'm so glad that that thing has been passed. So to your point, Drew, absolutely. No question about it. And it's interesting when Peoria football were on was on their championship run in 1999. They obviously played all the way up till December 18th was, I think, the championship game. So they're doing homework on planes. We traveled. I mean, every game we were on the airplane. And so these students, obviously their grades weren't very good, but they had an amazing experience. They won a national championship. I think that they would take a 3-point and a championship rather than a 4-point and not making the playoffs.
Right, I agree. That's a chance in a lifetime to experience something like that as an athlete. So I would definitely take that as well. But we don't have much time left. We kind of strayed away from the original topic.
What's your final message to those college athletes who don't, you know, maybe don't appreciate their opportunity that has been given to them, that they have earned, but that has been given to them?
I think you just have to see the bigger picture. I mean, like you said, not many high school athletes are able to move on to the college level. And like Kellen, I mean, it can be taken away from you in a second. And I think some athletes struggle to realize that and kind of take the whole thing for granted. So,
and then there's also the other end where it's like we have a couple guys on our team. I will never ever say a name, but they just they're on the team to wear that PLU football T-shirt when they're out in public. Oh, you're on the PLU football team. Oh, they have a great tradition.
Yeah,
you're the 8-string quarterback.
Right.
You know what I mean? And they're never in the weight room. That irks me, but at the same time, there's nothing we can do about it because we don't cut. So.
Yeah,
I just do not. I don't like when people play sports just so they can say they're on the sports
just
team.
Just to have the title,
to impress
right?
Their dad, and their mom, their girlfriend. Come on,
and they don't want to. And they don't want to put that work in. That
frustrates
me.
In my opinion,
me.
At any other level, you're not playing a sport because you want to be popular. You're going to get cut.
Exactly. So, and that's why I wanted to focus so much on D3 is because at D2, D1 level, if you're not in the weight room 3 days a week and you're not preparing in the off season, there's no way you'll be on the team next year.
And there's coaches in there checking your name off, you know.
Exactly. So. And I think it puts D3 coaches in a hard spot too, because they can't be that constant reminder.
Right.
There's not allowed to be mandatory events in the off season, at least for basketball. And so it puts them in a hard spot. They want their athletes in the weight room. They want their athletes on the court, getting extra shots up, getting better, but it's kind of on them as an athlete. It's their determination. So,
guys, this has been such a fun year. What a sad. I mean, this is a sad day. It's a happy day as well. What a great show we had. It's our last show. Our last show, Drew. I mean, your thoughts on the year? Quickly.
It was fun. This second semester. I mean, just getting the show together, and you know, we've already patted Christian's back a lot. Just
way more than I'm used to. It's kind
of
weird.
Bringing the convergence of personalities together. You know, me and you together is always good for an argument or two. Christian's the good mediator. Brings a lot of great topics. Does a good job with the script. And then the late addition of Lacey Nicholson to come in.
Talk about a great pickup.
Who that was
kind of like a Pau Gasol.
That was a great late pickup.
Trade deadline move.
That was Christian's trade deadline move to bring the female point of view in here. Someone who could check us, because you know we don't usually do the best job of covering female athletics. We got better towards the end of the year, but she came in and checked us, and she's brought some great segments. We've had some. I mean, I don't usually hang around for Lacey's Losers, but I listened to all the segments. And
you were the athlete student today.
Yeah, I was the athlete student today. Well, we didn't have class. I didn't have my class today, so which was good. So I just got to sit here and hang out.
That's perfect.
Which was fun to sit here and talk with you guys.
And I think Christian, you know, you're not going to test this. We have to thank Joanne Lasowski and Lacey for pushing us to do this show, to be as best as we can be. So thank you, Joanne Lasowski, for that. Folks, we're just about done with Mass Radio Sports Talk presented by 2.5 Athletes. Make sure to listen to Laser all weekend to hear cool shows throughout the weekend. Like I've said many times, today has been so much fun. Next week, we will have the best of, which will be really exciting. Christian is going to do a great job with that.
I can't wait.
Mm-hmm.
Hear that interview again.
It'll be a fun recap.
We were so excited.
You can hear the mozzarella sticks in the background as you guys are at Applebee's. But
yeah.
I'm Kellen Westring.
I'm Drew Artisoni.
I'm Lacey Nicholson.
And I am Christian Bond. Tune in next week for the Best Of show on Friday from 11 to 1 p.m. We are out of here.
See ya.
See ya.